Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21. On Sunday evenings, we started a series a long time ago and going through the Bible book by book, and we just went through and just taught one message on each book of the Bible to give us an understanding of why every book is there in the Bible. And I trust that was a help, an outline on each book of the Bible. Then we got into the book of Revelation, and we broke it down, started just preaching and teaching on it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And we've seen the book of Revelation gives us everything about past, present, and future. The Bible itself takes us from eternity past and all the way through to eternity future. Everything that God would have us to know about past, present, and future, He's revealed to us through His Word. And He has a purpose for revealing everything that He has revealed and in the way that He revealed it. And it's a blessing when you understand that. Understand that the Bible interprets Bible. Whenever there's a question about a biblical principle, maybe taught in a story or a character that we've studied in the Bible, there's always other scriptures that will verify a biblical truth. The Bible is what we look to interpret Bible. And so God's given it to us. We have it, past, present, future. We got into the book of Revelation. We studied about the things that were and the things that are and the things that shall be. We looked at the church. This is the things that are right now, the New Testament church age. We went through the seven churches there in chapters 2 and 3. Chapter 4, we find the church is gone. It's been raptured out. And now we start looking at what the Bible gives us concerning a seven-year tribulation period. And from chapter 4 all the way through chapter 19, the tribulation period. And then, of course, after the tribulation, the millennial reign of Christ and everything that's going to be taken through that. And then we got into the judgment and eventually the great white throne judgment that the Bible reveals to us in chapter 20. And then we got into chapter 21. And in chapter 21 and chapter 22, all the way through to verse 7 of chapter 22, He reveals to us the reality of heaven, eternity. And God wants us to know that heaven is a real place. He reveals to us that His Word is faithful and true. And what's been recorded in the Scriptures is something that you can put your faith in. You can believe it to be true. And He started describing to us, and He gives us some description of what heaven's going to be like. And last week we looked at the idea that it's called New Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And Jerusalem is somewhat like the hometown of the Bible, hometown of the Jews, hometown of those believers. Jerusalem, it's been meaningful from the very beginning all the way through, and the Bible has a lot to say about Jerusalem. But for us, I think that the idea there is in describing heaven, that it's going to be like a hometown. And I had to even use Cleveland with Brother Andy in his hometown and how we've been trying for a long time to get him to, now he's living in Indianapolis, but it's still Cleveland, amen? He still pulls for the Cavs, and what a disappointment that is. And but anyway, so hometown, the idea there, Jerusalem, heaven is going to be our hometown. This world is not our home, amen? We're pilgrims and strangers in this world, and we need to look forward to heaven as being our eternal home. And if you look forward to heaven as being your eternal home, that'll help you to get through this life and accomplish more for the cause of Christ. Because you don't just make this your life and think this is it. You know, as the world wants you to think, this is your only life and live it to its fullest and do whatever you feel like doing. All the different things that the world would have an influence over us. But when we realize this is not it, amen, this is a very important part of eternal life. Because the decision the people make in this life will determine where they spend their eternity. And then the rewards in heaven, all the different things there. So, but Jerusalem, it reveals to heaven as being New Jerusalem, a hometown that will be home. Home for the bride of Christ, the Bible says. What's going to be there is the bride of Christ. That's the church, believers. And so it's home for every born-again believer. If you're saved, you have heaven to look forward to. And it's going to be home for an eternity. What a blessing there. Talked about the four square, the plenty of room in heaven. Amen. Don't have to worry about living in a cracker box of a house. Amen. Don't have to worry about not having enough space. There is plenty of room in heaven. And the Bible tells about it, and it reveals it as a four square. It reveals to us what the different size, 1,500 miles wide and tall and depth, four square. It's just revealing to us that heaven is going to, there's going to be plenty of space for us in heaven. The high walls, it reveals the high walls. And in the Bible days, the high walls was a protection. The walls that were placed around Jerusalem was for the safety and the protection. High walls of heaven revealed to us is going to be a very safe and secure place. What a blessing that is for home to be a safe and secure place. That's what God would have every Christian to establish a home, to be a safe and secure place to raise children in. Amen? Heaven's going to be that way. Reveals the building material. Now, what significance is the building material? Well, only the best building material for heaven. You know how excited you are about getting that new floor, that new carpet, that granite countertops, whatever. I mean, just think about it. Heaven, it's going to be diamond countertops. Streets of pure gold. What's that? It's just going to be, it's our home. It's going to be the very best quality of materials. I can look forward to that. You might never have, I don't think you'll have pearl, real pearl doors in this life. Amen. But we have that to look forward to. Amen. It's something that God says. It's true and faithful. Heaven is going to have the best building materials that you could ever imagine. And then it's going to be, the last thing we looked at last Sunday night, it's going to be a state of constant awe of the presence of God. We come into the church and we sense the presence of God, and I've had people say, if we could just live at church. You get into your Bibles and God speaks to you. There's something about when God speaks to you through His Word, or when you get in your prayer closet and you just get alone with God and you sense God's arms around you. There's something special about that moment in this life. It's going to be a constant in heaven. The presence of God. Whew, what a blessing. Well, we didn't have time last week. We're going to finish what the Bible describes at the place of eternity in heaven. So Revelation chapter 21, we're going to pick it up at verse 23. So stand with me tonight. We're going to read verse 23 down to verse chapter 22 and verse 7. Before he closes the Word of God, he reveals to us a place we can look forward to. Not only that we can look forward to, but a place that all of our loved ones that have gone on before us, they're experiencing. The true comfort and the only comfort in death is life. When you know mom and dad, if they've passed on, they're in this glorious place. Brothers and sisters that have passed on, they're in this glorious place. Friends and family that have been saved, they're in this place. What a glorious thought. They're not in an old cold grave. They're not in a casket. Amen. All my loved ones that are saved, they're in glory. What a great comfort that is. Well, let's continue on. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you and we love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for revealing to us everything that we have need to know about past and present, and especially the future. Just knowing these things are in our future brings such peace and joy. I pray tonight, God, that you would help each one of us to just to have a little glimpse of something that we know our loved ones that have passed on in Christ before us are enjoying, and what we will look forward to one day. I just pray that you'd bless in this study. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We've been going through a practical study of the book of Revelation. I'm a practical preacher. I think that's something that we need. We need to know how to make application of the Word of God and how we can apply it to our lives today. And that's just revealing that which is practical. And I believe that's how God would have us to study and read and learn about the Scriptures, to be able to apply it to our lives. And so this idea of chapter 21, chapter 22, helping us to understand heaven. And God gives us things that we can understand in our minds. It's going to far exceed our greatest expectations. But what we do understand, and some of the expectations we might have on this planet Earth as far as things that bring joy to our lives and blessings to our lives, He uses some of these things to help us to realize that heaven is going to be so far past anything you could have here. What a blessing. And so here as we continue on with this, the idea here in verse 23 down to verse 27, verse 25 it says, "And the gates of it shall not be shut all at all by day, for there shall be no night there." There's not going to be the sun. We're not going to be dependent upon the sun. The earth will not be rotating on its axis, whatever the new heaven, the new earth, it's not going to be rotating. Therefore, there will not be a night and day. There's no need of the sun, but there's going to be even brighter light. And Jesus himself, the Bible says that God himself will be the producer of the light that we will have in heaven. But as I look at this, the first thing that I see here is, and which brings comfort to me, and I think it will be to you, bring comfort to you as well concerning heaven, no night there. In verse 27, it tells us what's not going to be there, and there's not going to be anything that defileth, and it goes on. There's no scary people there. Two things that kind of scare people today, especially children. Scary people. They've got some masks up in the attic because of different skits that the guys do from time to time. And our little grandchild, Carissa, went up there with Steph, and she seen one of those masks, and she just was petrified. And I got to get out of here, Grandma. I got to go back to the office. I got to go back to Mommy. It's a mask of a gorilla. And so, I mean, that just, it was it. Scary people. Scary nights. No more scary nights. There's no doubt if we would think back in our lives, every one of us could think of scary nights. Think back to a time maybe that you were sick. And you really didn't know what was going on. And that always happens at night. Amen? If you're going to get, you're the sickest, it seems like, at the darkest time of the night. And you might have thought about, if I could just get through this night, if I can just wait to see the sun come up, it's going to be so much better. Or whatever it might be. I remember as a young boy, I think I was 10, 11, me and my nephew, which was... I'm his uncle, but he's older than I am, and we don't want to get into that right now. But anyway, we were staying at the house by ourselves, and it was around midnight, and I think we had maybe been watching Cemetery, something like that, you know, something scary already. So we were already scared, but we were there all by ourselves, and it was a half a double, and we actually heard somebody trying to break in the back door. And we looked at each other, and both of us were 10, 11 years old. We ran to the kitchen like any other 10, 11-year-old boy would do, and we grabbed knives. like we were really going to be able to defend ourselves and take care of this when whoever breaks in the house. He rattled the back door, and then we seen the shadow of this individual come around the side windows. And I still remember that. That's been, I was 11 years old, 47 years ago. So a long time ago. And they come around, and then he's trying to break in the front door. And as a child, I don't think I've ever been as afraid as I was at that night. We were sitting there thinking, what are we going to do? He's going to come to, and he would have come to the door, and then it went silent. And then we looked outside, and there's police lights going around. Well, come to find out, the neighbor saw the guy trying to break into the house, called the police, and the police actually came and arrested this robber. The Lord protected us. Who knows what would have happened if he would have got into the house? But I know that it was the middle of the night, and we had a robber trying to get into our room, our home that we was at, and there's just the two of us, and all we have is knives. And it's one of the most scariest nights that I can remember as a child. There's probably some here that's had even scarier nights than that. No child ought to have to be scared to go to sleep at night. But it happens. God says, I want you to know something. No more scary nights. No more scary people. What a comfort. What a comfort. If you've never been afraid at night, it might not be a comfort to you. But if you had that kind of fear, heaven's going to be a comfort. Darkness is associated with evil all through the scriptures. Jesus revealed much about the darkness being associated with evil in Matthew chapter 22. Let me just go through a couple of verses here with you. You can mark them down, but write them down, read them later. But Matthew chapter 22 and verse 13, the Bible says, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of hell. Instead of going to be in light, as in heaven, it's going to be total darkness. And there's going to be gnashing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. In the book of Luke, in Luke in chapter 11 and verse 34, Luke chapter 11 and verse 34, the Bible says in verse 34, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, the whole body also is full of darkness. Evil associated with darkness. In the book of John in chapter 3, John chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. In the book of Acts in chapter 26, Acts in chapter 26 and verse 18, as Paul was given a testimony of what God called him to do, he says in verse 18, he says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus told John to turn them from the darkness. Present the gospel, the light of the world to them. Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 12. The Bible says in verse 12 of the book of Ephesians. Let me get over there real quick here. Chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. No more scary nights. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 30 and verse 5, he said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Heaven is the morning. Heaven is the sun rising. Amen. In heaven, there'll be no more night, no more scary nights, no more scary people. What a blessing to anyone that's had any kind of encounter with fear. Revelation chapter 22, as we go back and still describing heaven, in verses 1 and 2, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Now, a lot of people have a lot of questions, and they try to break it down. But practically, if you understand what he's doing here, God is helping us to view heaven and understand what heaven's going to be like. Water represents life. It's needed to sustain life. And he said, in heaven, rivers of clear water. Crystal clear. No pollution. Amen. The idea of just crystal clear water when you're thirsty. The availability of it. No shortage of water. No shortage of life. The Bible says in verse 2, it says, heaven, there's going to be 12 types of fruit. But what's a blessing about that? Harvested every month. As a boy, I remember going out to, we didn't have, neighbors had apple trees. And we'd wait and we'd see those apples start popping up on these trees. And we think, well, we want apples now. And I was always told, don't eat green apples. And I won't tell you what they told me it would do to you, but don't eat green apples. But as a little boy, I mean, every day we'd go out there and the apples, I mean, didn't think they were ever going to get green. Wait long enough. And we would eat green apples. And you know what? It's true. They do that to your belly. Amen. Don't eat green apples. Let them get ripe first. And we'd have to wait and wait until they would get ready to be harvested. And then, of course, then what a blessing, what a juicy red apple that has a flavor and you can eat it. But it's only once a year. God said 12 fruits. They're going to harvest them every month. There's no lack. No green apples. Have them whenever you want them. I like that because it also helps me to realize we're going to be able to eat in heaven. Amen? I don't know. What kind of existence is there if you can't eat? You know, you get on this diet or whatever and you say, I wanted to lose weight. I want to feel comfortable in my clothes, so I'm going to sacrifice. And I'm thinking, what is this? Not being able to eat when I want to eat, and I got to discipline myself not to eat. And along with not eating, I've got to exercise. It's a struggle here. In heaven, no calories. In a glorified body, no need to exercise. You're as fit as you can ever be. Woo, amen. That's right. No exercise. I mean, don't have to worry about what you're eating. It's going to be harvest all the time. Whatever you want. Whenever you want it. Why? There's no night. You see what God's doing for us? He's helping you to understand that heaven is real. And it's going to far exceed your highest expectations, your greatest expectations. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. Think of how the curse has affected your life in this world. Ladies, that's right. Every month you witness the curse. And when we had children, which I believe God designed to be a very pleasant experience. I don't know how pleasant that could be today with the curse. The labor that you go through. Where's Katie? And she's thinking, get me there. Yeah. That's, I don't know that it would have taken 9 months if it was all done without the curse. Yeah. The curse in Genesis, we'll not turn there for the sake of time, but Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 and 19. Every time you pull a weed. Every time you feel a pain in your body. This old body is dying. It's cursed. It's experiencing death. Part of the curse. Man was never created to die. Because of the curse, he was separated from God and he started to age physically. Therefore, it was appointed a man wants to die. Every time you have to go through the death of a loved one, leads back to the curse. Wow. Think of how the curse has affected your life and man's life from the very time of the curse. God said, in heaven, no more curse. Whew! I'm telling you, what a blessing. God wants us to know that. Yes, you don't have any choice. You're born with a sin nature. You're going to live with a sin nature. And you're going to have to deal with all of the curse of that sin in this life. But listen to me. One day it's coming in our home in heaven and we'll not have to experience the curse of sin. It's real. Verse 4 and 5. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, were his. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And look what it says. And they shall reign forever and ever. Wow. As we serve God, we'll reign with him. Today, can I tell you, when you truly understand who God is and you understand how God has equipped you and given you opportunities to serve him, it's a privilege and it's a joy to serve God now. It really is. No matter if you have to suffer persecution, if you have to suffer whatever sacrifice, if you have to, whatever it is, if you know that you're doing the Lord's will and you're doing something that's going to have eternal consequences to it, it's something that God is using you to accomplish in this life or in eternity. Listen to me, it's a privilege and it's a joy to serve God as a Christian. In heaven, our service will be to reign forever and ever. I don't know what we're going to reign over. I'm not going to reign over humanity because we're all going to reign together. All believers, the church. What are we going to? Are we going to reign over the stars? Are we going to reign over the planets? Are we going? I don't know what it is. I just know that God says when we get to heaven, we're His, and serving Him is going to be even a greater joy. There's going to be a greater pleasure in serving Him there, and we will serve Him forever and ever. But as we serve Him, we will reign. I can only imagine, and so can you. And I believe that's why God worded it that way. In closing, Psalm 16. The Bible says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. This life, God has a path for us. In heaven, God will have a path for us. In thy presence is fullness of joy. If you're in God's presence in this life, can I tell you there's a joy that this world cannot take from you. There's a joy that no trial, there's a joy that no storm will be able to take from you. It's the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. In His presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures for only during this lifetime. No. At thy right hand, we're serving Him, we're reigning with Him, there are pleasures forevermore. Don't get so caught up with the pleasures that you think that you can't live without in this life and turn to those and forsake the pleasures of eternal life. Heaven, what a glorious place. I'm so thankful that God has given us a glimpse into this very real place that we can call home. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. In His presence, at His right hand, pleasures. Eternal pleasures forevermore. Heaven is made available to all humanity through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way that you'll go to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Some 2,000 years ago, He came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. He paid a sin debt that we owe and could not pay. He paid it for us. And by grace, He offers through faith a gift of everlasting life. All you have to do is believe it and receive it. And you can have this place of heaven to look forward to. What a joy. In just a minute, we're going to give an invitation. If you don't know that you're saved, you can know that before you leave here tonight. After the invitation, we'll have the Lord's Supper, remembering the sacrifice that our Savior made for us to be able to give us this hope of everlasting life. What a great remembrance it is. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Are you mindful that this is not our home? We have one great home to look forward to. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your word. I pray that You would work here in our midst tonight. Only You know what's taking place in the lives of all that are here, what kind of decisions that might need to be made tonight, whether salvation. Maybe someone has been saved, have never been baptized, scripturally baptized. Whatever the need is, I pray that they would be willing and ready to make whatever decisions You would want them to make in this invitation time. Work in our midst and bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand